Okay, let's unpack this. You've shared materials about a legal case, Schramm v. Leon. It looks like you're trying to get a handle on how these things called statutes of repose play out in medical malpractice, especially when there's long history between a patient and their doctor.
Right.
This Georgia case dives right into that. We've got the court's actual decision, a breakdown of the case, and even some, notes on how someone else might talk about it. Our goal today is to really dig into Schramm v. Leon and pull out the key insights for you, particularly around when a seemingly firm deadline to sue might actually have some wiggle room.
And what's fascinating here, right from the start, is this balancing act the law has to perform. On one side, there's a need for a definitive point where legal liability ends, providing some certainty. But on the other side, there's the reality that harm from a doctor's actions or, well, failures to act can sometimes unfold over a really long period. The documents you've given us really illustrate how Schramm v. Leon tries to navigate that tricky middle ground.
Absolutely. So let's set the scene. Back in 1982, Betty Lyon had her spleen removed.
Way back.
Fast forward to 2004, and she develops this serious infection, OPSI, with some pretty severe consequences. She ended up suing a bunch of doctors in 2006, arguing that they should have warned her about the risks of OPSI and taken steps to prevent it during their treatment of her between 2001 and 2006. Now, some of these doctors had actually treated her before 2001, which throws us right into the central legal question. Did Georgia's 5-year statute of repose, slam the door on her claims against those earlier doctors, even if they were supposedly negligent during that later 5-year period?
Right, and that's the crux.
This isn't just about ticking dates off a calendar. It's about understanding what the law considers a fresh, legally significant act.
Exactly. The chronology here is key. You've got a significant stretch of time between the initial surgery and the onset of the infection. Then you have this period of more recent treatment, closer to when she got sick.
Right.
The legal puzzle becomes whether the alleged negligence during that 2001 to 2006 timeframe stands on its own legally, separate from any potential negligence related to the initial surgery that happened way outside the statute of repose.
Okay, so let's get into the nitty-gritty of this legal framework. We're talking about a statute of repose, which, as I understand it, isn't quite the same thing as a statute of limitations. Can you break down that difference for us, especially as it relates to this case?
That's a really important distinction to nail down. A statute of repose, like the 5-year rule in Georgia for medical malpractice, creates an absolute deadline. It starts running from the date of the potentially negligent act itself, no matter when the patient discovers they've been injured. Think of it like a fuse that's lit at a specific point, and once it burns out, the claim is barred, period.
A hard stop.
A hard stop. A statute of limitations, on the other hand, typically starts running when the injured person knows, or reasonably should have known, about their injury.
The discovery rule.
Exactly. So while a statute of limitations is tied to when the harm comes to light, a statute of repose is anchored to the date the alleged wrongdoing occurred. In Georgia, this specific 5-year cutoff is outlined in the code.
Right, that clarifies things. So in Betty Lyon's situation, the doctors who treated her before 2001 could argue that any initial mistake they might have made happened way before that 5-year window leading up to her 2006 lawsuit.
Precisely.
But it seems like her case hinges on what allegedly happened between 2001 and 2006.
Precisely. And the court had to decide whether those alleged failures to warn her about OPSI or to prescribe preventative measures during that 2001-2006 period constituted new and independent acts of negligence.
And there was precedent, right? Something about misdiagnosis.
Yeah, the case brief you shared mentions Committer v. Canis, where a misdiagnosis claim was indeed blocked by the statute of repose after 5 years. So what makes Schramm v. Lyon a different animal?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Kaminer involved a specific event, the misdiagnosis, with a clear starting point for that statute of repose clock. But Schramm deals with alleged omissions, failures to take certain actions over a period of time. It's not quite a one-time thing like a surgery or a diagnosis.
Exactly. And the Georgia Supreme Court drew a distinction here. They acknowledged that the initial spleen removal back in 82 was outside the 5-year window, no question. However, they said that the alleged failures to warn and to provide preventative treatment between 2001 and 2006 could be considered near negligent acts. Essentially, the court reasoned that each time the doctor saw Betty Lyon within that 5-year period and allegedly didn't meet the accepted medical standard by failing to warn her about OPSI or suggest preventative steps. well, that could be seen as a fresh breach of their duty of care.
Building on that understanding of new negligent acts, the court's specific stance on a related legal concept is particularly noteworthy. They didn't just embrace a broad continuing treatment doctrine.
No, absolutely not.
The podcast guidance you gave me really emphasizes that point. It wasn't simply about the fact that Xu was still their patient.
That's a critical nuance to grasp. The court explicitly rejected the idea that a continuous doctor-patient relationship automatically stops or restarts the statute of repose.
Why is that so important?
Well, if they had gone down that road and adopted a broad continuing treatment doctrine, it could potentially open the floodgates to lawsuits stretching back decades, you know, as long as the patient had remained under the doctor's care.
I see. That makes sense.
Instead, the court's focus was much narrower. Were there specific identifiable acts or failures to act within that five-year window that constituted negligence and caused harm?
And the court actually quoted something specific, if I remember correctly, something about multiple breaches.
Yes, you're right. The court specifically stated, multiple breaches of the standard of care may constitute new and separate instances of professional negligence. This is really the core of their reasoning. They weren't looking backward at the initial treatment or the very first interactions between Betty Lyon and these doctors. Their attention was fixed on the specific allegations of negligence, the failures to warn and prescribe, that supposedly happened during that 2001-2006 treatment period.
So the crucial insight here for you, the listener, is that in situations with ongoing relationships or treatments, the legal clock might reset with each new instance of negligence, even if the initial issue is long in the past.
Right.
So what does this all mean for you? The big takeaway from Schramm v. Lyon is that statutes of repose in medical malpractice cases aren't always an impenetrable barrier, especially when there's ongoing treatment involved.
Exactly.
The Georgia Supreme Court made it clear. Each instance of negligence that causes harm has the potential to start the clock on that statute of repose anew.
A fresh start, legally speaking.
In Betty Lyon's case, the alleged failures to warn and prescribe preventative measures within the 5 years before she filed her lawsuit were considered new negligent acts, even though the doctor's relationship with her had a much longer history.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, Schramm really represents a careful balancing act by the court. It acknowledges the fundamental purpose of statutes of repose, you know, to provide a measure of predictability and protect healthcare providers from having to defend against very old claims where evidence might be lost or memories faded.
Sure, it makes sense.
However, it also recognizes a crucial point of fairness. A patient shouldn't automatically be barred from seeking legal recourse for more recent acts of negligence simply because the doctor-patient relationship happens to have a long history.
Now, building on that, the court specifically rejected a broad continuing treatment doctrine.
Mm-hmm. We touched on that.
This is key. It's not enough to just say, well, they were still my doctor. The negligence has to be a distinct action or lack of action within that five-year window. Think of it like this. A mistake made years ago might be legally in the past, but a new related mistake within the legal time frame can bring the whole situation back into legal focus.
Exactly. A past error doesn't shield a present one, essentially.
This case really highlights the important distinction between a statute of repose, that hard deadline tied to the negligent act, and a statute of limitations, which often depends on when the injury was actually discovered.
This also brings up an important aspect of the alleged negligence in Schramm. It wasn't a single, isolated event like a misdiagnosis years ago or a surgical error from the distant past.
Right. It was ongoing, you could say.
Sort of, yeah. It revolved around an ongoing duty to keep the patient informed and to provide appropriate preventative care, especially given Betty Lyon's known increased risk of OPSI after her splenectomy.
Because of the missing spleen?
Right. The court seemed to find that each opportunity the doctors had within that later period to warn her or prescribe preventative measures and allegedly fail to do so could be seen as a new failure to meet the then current standard of care.
The materials you share also touched on some of the real-world implications of this ruling. For doctors, this case serves as an important reminder about the need for thorough and ongoing documentation.
Absolutely.
Of their patient interactions, especially when dealing with patients who have chronic conditions or known risk factors.
Documentation is key.
And for patients, it might offer a potential legal avenue, even if their relationship with a healthcare provider has spanned many years, provided they can point to specific instances of negligence that occurred within the statutory period.
Absolutely. And the case brief you provided does a good job of summarizing the central legal principle that emerges from Schramm. The statute of repose starts running from the date that each negligent act causing injury occurred, not just from the very first deed of treatment. This really puts the emphasis squarely on those individual instances of alleged negligence within the repose period.
So this raises an important question for you, our listeners, to consider. How might this more nuanced understanding of statutes of repose ripple out and affect other areas of law where similar deadlines exist?
That's a really interesting thought.
Could seemingly time-barred claims in other contexts be potentially revived by subsequent related actions? It's a good reminder that legal deadlines, while they might seem absolute on the surface, can have underlying complexities and exceptions that are really crucial to understand.
Definitely food for thought.
Thanks for taking this deep dive with us. We hope it's given you some valuable insights.